Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience, and it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had. And the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day. And everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All The Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-Bone at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-Bone.
It's time now to go beyond the headlines. And for the next 2 hours, go where every sports fan wants to go. Behind the scenes and into the practice facilities, locker rooms, coaches' offices, and press boxes to get the info before anyone else. This is the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Not Rich Eisen.
Nor the Insiders.
No.
It is a very special holiday
program. Hey, who's running this place? Figure it out.
I don't know who.
Golly, it's fine. It's good.
Everything's fine.
No, it's good.
It's all right, man. It is a special holiday programming. It's not D'Lo and KC. It's not the Insiders. It's just D'Lo. It's just Damian Barling and Kyle Mattson. Kyle's getting adjusted to the very odd view that is that camera that actually seems to be worse. I know. We have a slightly different setup on the screen, which is causing some difficulties for you.
I just want everybody to know who's watching on YouTube at youtube.com/ESPN1320 that I'm not sitting abnormally close to the camera.
Yeah.
This isn't a me problem.
That camera has had a very odd zoom to it since it got installed. And I think it's something that our engineers did through some program like in their, you know, bowels of the building.
Great.
But I don't know that that's something that we can even fix.
I'm going to spend most of the first segment distracted trying to fix it.
That's fine.
So you do whatever you want to do.
Kenny spends most of the first segment and second segment and third segment distracted by something else anyway. So it's perfectly okay. I am more than used to it, and there is a lot to talk about. We got 49ers football tonight. The San Francisco 49ers, the Indianapolis Colts in a game that doesn't mean much for the San Francisco 49ers. In fact, it doesn't mean anything in terms of clinching a playoff spot. That was done last night, but there's still some major, major stakes ahead for the San Francisco 49ers. So we will dive into that. An incredible weekend of football as well. Lots of questions, both of the good and bad variety coming for a couple of teams there. But we'll start with what felt like a playoff game last night at the Golden One Center. That crowd had an opportunity to be invested in a basketball game for the first time in a very, very long time, and they took advantage of that. Sacramento Kings got their first win since December 6th when they beat Miami. They got their first win at the Golden One Center since November 24th. People are running these videos. Look at this crowd reacting to the 7-22 team. That's why. That crowd had not had an opportunity to cheer like that for nearly a month. Now, there
That's
is a
crazy.
Bit of a schedule anomaly. Like, they haven't played a ton of games in December. But when they have, it has not gone well. And they played well last night. And you had Russell Westbrook at the end of regulation. You had Dennis Schroeder at the end of overtime. They should have lost that game four different times. And it was Portland all over again. We have seen this. We know how this is going to end. At no point did I think the Sacramento Kings were going to win that game last night. None.
Really?
No. I absolutely did not.
When Westbrook tied it, I thought I felt good about it.
I thought we're losing in overtime.
That's hard
but
to blame.
But great. Great for my dog to go out there and get it done.
I was when he caught that on the right wing, it's like, oh, bucket. Like that's the shot he hits consistently.
Yeah.
I feel great about it. I was with you because I've gotten into this. I've started playing a game when there's a Kings game on of, okay, when can I turn this off? And last night I kept waiting because it never felt
out of control.
Yes. They got down as many.
Got really
15,
close.
Like 15, I think.
Got close, yeah.
It got a couple times where it's like, all right, Rockets stop in a bucket and this one's a wrap. And then the Kings would hit a shot. And then they get a stop.
Yeah.
All right, and now it's eight. Like, oh, man, you got it. And they just keep hanging around. And you could tell. It's so funny. We were talking about this. The juxtaposition between the sentiment that we have here between just the shows in the chat,
social media.
Yeah, on social media. It's just like, God, everyone's frustrated. There's angst and everything is just awful all the time. And the second there is a drop of hope that the Kings are going to win a basketball game, Golden One Center lights up.
But see, that's always the difference between not that there isn't an intersection of the two, but that's always the difference. Like if you're listening to this, you're a big sports fan.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, hopefully there are some casual sports fans listening that just enjoy the show, but in all likelihood, you're a big sports fan. Like, and you're really, really invested in the team. We think that everyone at the Golden One Center is like us, but it's not. Like, there's the business guy who got tickets from his boss. There's companies handing out tickets to clients. There's moms and dads taking kids for Christmas. There's people out of town. Like, it is just, there are people who just genuinely love, like I've talked about this before when we looked up Kings tickets prices. Our oldest daughter wants her and her boyfriend, they want Kings tickets. And they don't care that the team is 7-22. They like being at the arena.
Right.
When we took the 17-year-old, they just wanted to get on the screen.
Right.
That is all they cared about was they wanted to sing Living on a Prayer and get on the screen. And the Kings lost to the Lakers. They didn't have LeBron James. They didn't have Luka Doncic.
Ah.
And neither one of those teenage girls gave a crap.
Can you imagine?
Did not care.
I would want to be on the screen for Living on a Prayer, but this team's losing. No LeBron, no Luka. Ugh.
Right.
Losing on a prayer. No, it just... But even the people who are angsty about the team, I have a hard time believing that there are people, because I'm guessing there are people listening to the show right now who are at the game last night. And I'm guessing there are people who are at the game last night who on a pretty consistent basis are like, man, loss, loss, loss. Mm-hmm. Love losing. Losing is good. Wins are bad because we want the number one pick, et cetera, et cetera. Mm-hmm. I have a really hard time believing that those people were sitting there in their asses in seats, arms crossed as the Kings are coming back last night.
Yeah.
Like, no chance. It was fun. It's a good-ass time watching basketball. Shout out to the Kings.
Shout out to the Kings, man. Shout out to Russell Westbrook. Shout out to Dennis Schroeder, man. Those guys came through in the clutch. Russ at the end of regulation, another really good game for Russell Westbrook. 21 points, 13 assists. 21 points, 13 rebounds for Russell Westbrook. Dennis Schroeder, 24 points last night, 10 assists. Multiple guys with 20 points in addition to those two. DeMar DeRozan had 27. Keegan Murray had 26. Really loved Keegan Murray's game last night because felt like he was everywhere. He was at the basket. He was behind the arc. And he was at the free throw line.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the one, like, above all else, if he's not camped out behind the three-point line and he's getting opportunities and he's creating opportunities, he's going to wind up at the foul line. And we saw that last night from Keegan.
Yeah, that's that aggressiveness that you just die for with Keegan. Because when he does it, he's really good like he was last night. I don't think he's ever going to be a guy who's going to dish out a ton of assists. He may not grab 9 rebounds a game.
Mm-hmm.
But when he's that aggressive, that's where the the camp that says, man, this guy can be a number two on a good team. It's because of nights like last night.
Mm-hmm.
14 field goal attempts, but scores 26 points, perfect 5 of 5 from the free throw line, got to the free throw line 5 times. Like, that's just such an indicator of, like, that's the Keegan you want to see on a night in, night out basis. I don't need him to take 25 shots. But when he does get his opportunities, can you go take them? Can you take advantage of them? Can you get to the free throw line? Can you do something other than catch and shoot three? And when you see what happens in a game like last night against a good defensive team, you start to feel a little better about it.
A couple of things last night a couple of things over the weekend, really, that we do have to talk about. The Kings did play 2 games over the weekend. They went 1-1, but we'll celebrate the one last night. 4 minutes. 4 minutes and 50 seconds. That's all it was. 4 minutes and 50 seconds. That's what Malik Monk played last night. Malik Monk entered the game with about 4.5 minutes left in the third quarter. Maybe a little bit more. Maybe he just wound up playing there. Maybe it was about 5 minutes left in the third quarter. That crowd erupted.
Yeah.
Like, erupted for Malik Monk. And Malik was not really impactful in terms of what he was doing on the floor in that very, because that's all he played.
Yeah.
And we're going to get to that because I've got a lot of questions. I don't understand what Doug Christie is doing. I don't understand what the Sacramento Kings organization is doing. I don't know what point they're trying to prove or exercise they're trying to have. But I don't get it. However, I have no way of proving this, but that ovation that Malik got seemed to carry over. Malik Monk's mere presence on the floor, that reaction from the crowd lasted long after he was gone. The first true eruption of the night happened when Malik Monk stepped on the floor. Crowd was engaged. Crowd was engaged, I thought, the entire game.
Yep.
That Malik entered when the game was slipping away. It was in those moments where you were talking about a minute ago where it feels like this thing might be slipping away. And just Doug Christie calling his number, Scott Moak make neck introduction, that crowd got up, and I think you can make an argument that they never went down after that. The crowd didn't.
Yeah.
And you know, whether the team responded or none of these things are related, the enigma that is Malik Monk is fascinating. After 2 straight DMPs, a random call to the bench from Doug Christie for a 4-minute and 50-second stint seemed to have caused a bit of reaction in that Golden 1 Center.
It's... I don't know what to make of this, because I don't. Why do you think Malik Monk is so popular?
His energy is a big reason. I think he is I think he's the realest. When you go back to that Beam team, I think he was the realest player. Like,
sure.
You know, De'Aaron was always a bit guarded. Domas, we didn't really know. Herders, like, whatever. Keegan is the kid. But Malik was Malik. Like, what you see is what you get with him. And he was instant energy. And he hits a three, he reacts. He hits 2 threes in a row, he reacts bigger. And I think the crowd took on that energy. The more energy Malik exude, the more the crowd ate it up. It's like it fed them. Malik's energy fed the crowd, and the crowd gave it right back.
I wonder what's going to happen when he gets traded. Because I think what you're saying is right. I think him coming into that game last night was this extra pop. And then it wasn't like the Kings went on a 20-0 run and got back in the game. They were down, what was the score? They were down 6. When he came in, and they finished that quarter down 9. So it wasn't like this, but I do agree with you. And you mentioned, you guys mentioned this at, when you were out at the Galleria, the Roosevelt Galleria before the season. Mm-hmm. You asked the crowd, hey, who's your favorite player? And you started saying names. And, you know, people cheer for everybody. But Malik got the
not even close.
Bang.
Yeah.
Not even close.
Yep.
And I think he's the, we said this when they brought in Dennis Schroeder, when they brought in Russell Westbrook. And then, man, okay, you think Keon Ellis is a building block, which maybe, but okay, he's got to play. Man, Malik might be the odd man out. And then he's playing well for the most part, playing with energy. And then he gets these DNPs, and he's got Doug Christie out here on the podium talking about, like, yeah, just there's not enough energy. It's like, man, what? Like, it feels like this is the last piece of the previous era. Mm-hmm. This is the last like fan favorite piece of what was with the original Beam team.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't like the reaction from the crowd last night made me skeptical about whether the Kings can move him. Does that make, am I overreacting?
If it
comes out tomorrow that the Kings traded Malik Monk, like that would be really tough, I think, in a way that, oh, they traded Zach LaVine or they traded DeMar DeRozan, yeah, or they traded DeMontis Sabonis.
Malik being the first to go, I think, would upset a lot of people. If Malik gets traded, if Malik gets traded before all of those guys that you just referenced, there would be, I think there would be a very uncomfortable reaction to it. If Malik was still traded, but he was the last one to get traded, I think people would be like, all right. I don't believe anyone would be happy about it, but I think it would be digested differently if he was last versus if he was first. I think if he was first, the fan base would be offended.
Huh.
Versus if he's last, it's like, okay, this is just part of the plan.
Right.
It's $18 million. Okay.
Right.
All right. This is just part of the plan. Like, we see it. Like, it's business. We understood.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Whereas if he's first, I think there's angst where it's like, well, wait, why is he here?
Mm-hmm.
Why is he still here? You're telling me you couldn't move him instead?
Mm-hmm.
I think that would be the reaction to it.
Mm-hmm.
My frustration comes with, and it actually comes with assuming he is making these decisions independently or with his coaching staff,
mm-hmm,
and nowhere else. My frustration comes with Doug, because what? Doug talked about there being a logjam,
mm-hmm,
and we knew this. We knew this going into the
word
season.
Of the season.
Like, especially at that position group, we knew. It has been discussed about exhaustively. I am so sorry to some of you. I do not need to see Keon Ellis anymore. I don't think Keon Ellis is a bad basketball player. I don't think Keon Ellis doesn't, you know, I wouldn't love to have Keon Ellis as a Sacramento King. I don't think that Scott Perry needs to bend over backwards to make sure Keon Ellis is on this roster. If there are teams calling, the league is baffled, great.
Mm-hmm.
That is wonderful. I'm so happy you think my organization is stupid. Make me an offer.
Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience. And it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had. And the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day. And everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All The Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-Bone at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-Bone.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
Make me an offer. That way you can be pissed off when he inevitably does something stupid like foul a three-point shooter at the end of halftime. I point that out specifically. Now, don't get me wrong. I understand Keon Ellis did not touch him. Just the most marginal of contact. I get that. I also understand there was a foul called at the end of the game in which, like, Russell Westbrook literally never touched the shooter. Like, I get that. But how often is Keon Ellis involved in a play where you're like, God damn it?
3 times a game.
At minimum. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you want me, what am I weighing here with Keon Ellis? Mm-hmm. With players, you weigh the goods and the bads. Mm-hmm. What are the goods that I'm, oh, he's a great defender. Is he?
Well, is he really? But that's what, okay, and that's where he was, like, when he kind of came on the scene a couple seasons ago and was awesome in that playing game against Golden State. I was like, man, the Kings found one.
Stop right there.
Yeah.
Who was here?
Mike Brown.
Nope. De'Aaron Fox. De'Aaron Fox. Whether he gets credit for it or not, is a very high-level defender. I'll stop short of saying he's elite, but he is a high-level defender.
When he's engaged, he's very good.
That's it. Mm-hmm. He's not engaged 100% of the time, and I would make an argument most NBA players aren't engaged on the defensive side of the ball 100% of the time.
Yes.
But when he is, he's fantastic, and that aided Keon. The second De'Aaron was gone, Keon looked a lot different on the defensive end.
I don't disagree, but I have a hard time believing that that was solely De'Aaron Fox. I think De'Aaron Fox is the kind of player who makes players better. But
I'll give
I also
credit
think,
to Mike too. Then,
yeah, absolutely. But I also think when De'Aaron Fox left, it was like remember that I don't want to be a Keon stan here, but I don't know that they have like a defined role for him. I don't know when De'Aaron Fox was here and Malik Monk was the sixth man and Keon Ellis was coming off the bench and it was, hey, wreak havoc defensively and shoot some threes. Great. That's what he's going to do. But now it's like, oh, he can't, they had him. Was it 2 summer leagues ago? It's like, hey, can you run the point? Can you like, I think he's been miscast a little bit, and maybe we the Royal we overrated him. Maybe I overrated him and thought that, oh man, he could be like a starter. In fact, you know what? I did say that. I said that a lot. I was very much in the star Keon camp, and maybe he's just not that. And maybe the Kings are trying to give him too big of a role right now. But I think he's a valuable player. I just don't know that he knows what the Kings want from him. I don't know if the Kings know what the Kings want from him.
I don't know that what the Kings want from him, he can provide for this basketball
yeah,
team.
Yeah, that's it.
So what you better do is pull Keon aside, man, and said, hey, just hang in there. We're going to get a bunch of guys around you who are actually be able to complement your play.
Yeah.
But there are plenty of times where I have seen Keon. I have seen people get past Keon mm-hmm. on a floor.
Sure.
Many, many times.
Sure.
And the idea that he is this lockdown defender mm-hmm. who is the key to everything working for the Sacramento Kings, I think has become a bit overblown.
I agree.
And now we're in this position. The crazy part is neither one of these dudes played last night. Keon played 9 minutes last night. After that foul mm-hmm. at the end of halftime, he didn't play again. Mm-hmm. Malik, after that stretch when he entered the game, he didn't play again. Mm-hmm. So we could talk about the logjam in the backcourt if we want sure. to. Neither one of those guys played last night.
It's kind of interesting as we go along here, we're really finding out who the Kings find expendable. When Doug Christie openly said, like, yeah, we're a professional basketball team, we're trying to win games, but also we're about developing. We're about developing the franchise cornerstones. Keegan, Dylan Cardwell. He might have said Keon. I forget. Neek. Like he mentioned four players specifically. And right after that was when Malik started getting DNPs. Mm-hmm. It was like, oh, mm-hmm. all right. So there's the first one. And now we're seeing that Keon, because Keon makes a mistake. And it's like, all right, you're done. You're out of here. Mm-hmm. It's like, they don't. I'm sure they see him as like they'd like to keep him around, but I also think that they see him in some respect as expendable. That's not happening to DeMar DeRozan. DeMar DeRozan makes a mistake defensively. He's not coming off the court. Zach LaVine dogs it on offense for a half. He's not coming off the court. And I think that's kind of interesting that we're finding that out as the season goes on. Like, okay, we're gonna play the young guys over the veterans, but the question was always, okay, which veterans?
Mm. Well, and I think that's something we're going to learn here relatively soon, because seeing guys like, you know, Maxime Reynaud played 37 minutes last night. Mm-hmm. He's getting big time run
yeah.
for Sacramento. And I feel like you're going to have to find a way to keep him on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you also have this thing where you have what appears to be a conscious effort to have Keegan Murray play the three.
Mm-hmm.
You have Doug referring to it as Keegan Murray's natural position. He was fantastic in that position last night for reasons that we outlined a few minutes ago, in the way that he attacked the basket mm-hmm. and the multiple ways that he was about to score. So if the idea is to have Keegan at three, you have a decision to make when Zach LaVine is healthy. Because in my mind, you need to keep Precious Achiuwa on the floor. Now, here's the other story that we haven't got to. It turns out whatever the hell is wrong with Domantas Sabonis is going to keep him out 10 weeks.
Crazy.
I was speechless when we got that update. Like, did he have surgery?
Right. Usually when a player is going to be out that long, you know it off the rip.
Like, reevaluated. No. You need more time, and it's just double what it was before. Yes. Is incredible.
Reevaluated typically means okay, needs another week.
Yes.
Reevaluated, and now we're like week to
it's
week.
It's never been twice as much time yeah. as we originally anticipated.
Insane.
I've never sent a medical alert to the group chat before. But that email went out and we were all like, yo, like, what the F is this?
Yeah, did he get worse? Like, what did he tear it more in rehab?
The Kings are telling us he literally has not healed one bit in the last 5 weeks.
Right.
Doesn't even say too. That's like, yeah, he'll be back in 4 to 5. It's like, yeah, we'll check on him again in 4 to 5 and we'll see after that.
Insane.
Absolutely incredible. So you've bought yourself time with Maxime Reynaud, right? Mm-hmm. You have another, you know, especially with the, you know, the Drew Eubanks situation as well. You've bought yourself another 4 to 5 weeks mm-hmm. minimum at this point for Max to be on the floor. But if the goal is for Keegan to play at the three, mm-hmm. what are you doing with Zach LaVine when he's healthy?
Hmm.
It feels like there's a decision to make between Zach and DeMar,
mm-hmm.
or do you cop out and move DeMar to the four, which they did during the stretch in which Keegan was out, in mm-hmm. which Russ would start there one day, DeMar would start there mm-hmm. one day, they would just kind of, you know, Precious came along mm-hmm. and so on. But, you know, this it appears there, you know, and this is something that we'll talk about when we talk about the Kings, you know, throughout the day, that Doug did kind of signal a change in philosophy.
Right.
Like a change, mm-hmm. He referenced, you know, when he was talking about Malik and he referenced, you know, because of where our record is at.
Yeah.
Like a clear acknowledgement. Yeah, it's different now. We didn't expect to be here.
Right, right.
And it's like, okay, that works with Domas completely out of the picture.
Right.
Zach LaVine is out just a week.
Mm-hmm.
What are you going to do when that review comes up and it's like, no, Zach is ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
What are you going to do?
I don't
expect you to know the answer. I'm watching.
Yeah. That's the one. And maybe Milwaukee bails you out. And maybe Milwaukee goes, he's healthy, we'll take
That'd
him, which
great.
Would be unbelievable.
That'd be awesome.
But it does feel, it's like, forget the win. Let's say Russell Westbrook or Dennis Schroeder, somebody misses a three last night, and the Kings lose instead of win. That's still, like, an ideal game from a minutes perspective, where Dylan Cardwell's playing a bunch, and Maxime Reyneau's playing a bunch, and they're playing well, and Nate Clifford looks like he's starting to get his sea legs a little bit, and you hung with the Rockets, you fought back, like you played with energy, you did like everything, it felt like went right last night, because man, Dennis Schroeder playing good is awesome, and Russell Westbrook playing well is awesome, and you love to see that. DeMar DeRozan had his moments, but it's Keegan, Dylan Cardwell, Maxime Reyneau, like that's the stuff that matters.
Mm-hmm.
They all played a bunch of minutes last night. They all played for the most part pretty well. And that it would be really hard to go away from that in the name of Zach LaVine minutes.
Right.
And
that's something.
It feels like that's the direction we're headed, though.
That's something we will talk about more as the show progresses. We are with you for the next 3.5 hours. It's not the insiders. It's not Dilo and KC. It is a special holiday week programming here with Dilo and Kyle Mattson, and we're thrilled that you're here with us. The phone lines are open as always. The Elk Grove Kia Talk Line, 916-909-1320. We are far from done in talking about the Sacramento Kings. Shout out to everybody in the chatty house hanging out with us here on this very, very rainy Monday, December 22nd. And just for those, there you go. Kings got to win. Little Young Zell right there. Little on the beat. That's it. No, we don't play the whole song. Like, that's just like, come on. It's 7-2. That's disingenuous. But still, we get a little.
Why?
Little beat.
They lit the beam.
They did
the
light beam.
The beam tweeted.
Yeah, the beam got lit,
man. It's alive.
We don't got to play the song.
We have our 3D printed beam over
that
here.
Thing that thing hasn't
light.
Been plugged in months.
Well, they haven't won in months.
It feels like months.
You think they've earned Young Zell, Kyle?
Yeah.
We'll consider.
Young players play well. Young Zell. I mean, come on.
That was a stretch.
It's not a stretch. It's right there. It was low hanging fruit.
Okay.
But it's not a stretch. It's a 1-1.
We'll consider it 12 o'clock letting it run. Well, I'll think about it. We'll take it to the committee and we'll talk about it. We also got to talk.
YouTube poll.
You love, okay.
I love a YouTube poll.
We also, the 49ers are headed to the playoffs. They don't play till tonight, but one particular outcome sent them to the playoffs, and man, was it an interesting
one. What the hell happened?
I have a story to tell about that game, because I'm going to be honest with you, I still don't know what happened.
Couldn't tell you.
We'll come back. Steve and Kyle Mattson on ESPN 1320. Cam?
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast.
That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience, and it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had. And the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day. And everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All The Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-Bone at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-Bone.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
Yes, I forgot you were there when that was purchased. We welcome you back in here to a special holiday edition of ESPN programming. It's Damian Barling and Kyle Mattson. No official Insiders program today. No official D'Lo and KC today. But we are happy that you're here with us. Hell of a win for the Sacramento Kings last night. First win in a long time. First win since they beat Miami on December 6th. First win at the Golden 1 Center since they beat Minnesota on November 24th. Minnesota, I remember that game. Another very hard-earned victory that they had in that one. And we talk about, you know, regularly whether this team is interested in winning, whether they want to compete, like whether they just want to get out of here. And I'm of the belief professional athletes want to win games. They always do. Like I think the idea that these guys mail it in as often as we think they do isn't realistic, but I have begun to question whether they believe that they can win. And I said earlier, like, I never thought the Kings were going to win that game last night. Mm-hmm. And I wonder at what point they did. At what point did they say, yo, we've got this. This is ours. Like, because what I think doesn't matter. What the fans think doesn't matter. But if those guys, you know, go into that final time, hey, get a stop. We're going to hit this three. We're going to overtime. We got this. If that's how they approach, like, then, yeah, that's great. I just have wondered sometimes if they believe that. And I think sometimes when we see a 3-point deficit turn into a 6-point deficit, turn into a 12-point deficit, that makes me think, oh, they feel it like crumbling. Mm-hmm. And like it just takes all of their energy away.
Yeah, I think that set in a little bit. until they, I think they feel like they should have beat Portland.
Oh, for
on,
sure. A couple
was
of
that
nights ago.
Friday?
Yeah. Thursday.
Thursday.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they played Portland Saturday.
Yeah.
Right. So I think they thought they should have won that game. Mm-hmm. And I think that was like a, man.
Yeah.
That's God, tough. They're just. And then you lose to Portland again. And then I think last night felt like the galvanization, like this, all right, man. And I don't think it's a coincidence that Russell Westbrook hit the biggest shot.
Mm-hmm.
And then Dennis Schroeder hit the next biggest shot and hit a couple of big shots down the stretch. And obviously Keegan Murray was very, very good,
was
in the
fantastic,
yeah. Really good in the fourth quarter and kind of took over a little bit. But I don't think it's a coincidence that you talk about, do these guys believe it? Like, yeah, for the younger players, it's probably like, God, I can't. What do we got to do to get a win? Mm-hmm. Whereas Russell Westbrook thinks Russell Westbrook's going to hit every shot he takes. Dennis Schroeder thinks Dennis Schroeder's going to hit every shot he takes. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why those guys in those spots are like, yeah, hey, give me the ball. Like, I got it. Mm-hmm. And so I don't think we're seeing some massive turnaround here. But I do think that last night was the culmination of them being really close to a couple of wins and finally looking at each other and going, all right, hey, we fought all the way back here.
Yeah.
Against this really good team.
Yeah.
We got to finish the job now. In a way that I don't think if that exact same game had happened prior to those two Portland games, I think they lose by 20 plus.
Sure.
Like, I think that it goes from believing you can win to not believing you can win. And then there's this like bounce back to being so fed up. Like, we're NBA players. We're too good to lose as often as we do. And I think that's what happened last night.
There's a lot more to talk about as it pertains to the Sacramento Kings. We'll get to Malik Monk's conversation with our guy Jason Anderson coming up later on in the show. And we'll talk about more about what Keegan Murray and what appears to be Doug Christie's effort to get him at the three position means for when Zach LaVine is due to return, or at least we think he's due to return here. In the next handful of days. So that's all ahead here. We've got 49ers football tonight as they take on the Indianapolis Colts. But they made the playoffs yesterday. Turns out a couple of outcomes went their way, particularly the Steelers and the Lions. So can I tell you a very quick story as to what was happening? That was the last game on.
Yes.
Red Zone had shut down. It was 4:30. And I was like, I know I'm kind of, you know, I don't know when it's going to start raining. It's pretty clear right now. Let me throw the game on the phone. There's just one left. I could pay attention to it and get Sprout out for a walk.
Mm-hmm.
Got Sprout fed, had the game in my headphones. And I believe we had a pass interference penalty. And then we had a tripping penalty. And that moved. The Lions were just driving.
Just back-breaking penalties. The pass interference, mind you, was on 4th and 13.
Yeah.
Or 4th and 3, whatever it was. It was on a 4th down.
Yeah.
Look, pass breakup, no flags, Pittsburgh celebrating, and then
100
flags. So long!
They are celebrating, and then all of a sudden...
Forever! I'm going to try and find it, because I need to actually count. Because
it was hilarious.
It wasn't, hey, is there a flag? Oh, there's a flag. It was like, oh, is there a flag? Wow, no flag. Wow, nice. Yeah, all right, Niners going to
no,
the playoffs.
No, now there's five of them. There's five of them.
All the refs are looking at going, that was a flag. You're throwing it?
And I love that they all threw them right where the Steelers were celebrating. It's like, hold on, pal.
No, idiots.
And then the trip was funny in its own right because it was like a schoolyard trip. You couldn't even
blatant.
Have faked it.
Blatant.
Like, it's like, nah, you did that.
Blatant.
Tell me if I'm wrong here. I know as I'm walking, I saw Jared Goff throw a touchdown pass.
At least once.
And I'm like, oh, they did it. I was like, okay, all right, they did it. All right, good for Detroit. And I closed my phone and went back to walking Sprout, believing the Lions had just thrown a touchdown pass to beat the Pittsburgh Steelers. Then I'm coming home And I take my phone out again and see this alert that says the Steelers survive crazy ending and beat the Lions. And I'm thinking, did they go back and there's no way Rodgers did that. And so I open and I see the score and realize whatever touchdown I think I saw didn't actually happen.
Yeah.
And then that wild sequence of plays that they're showing on the screen up here winds up happening. And the Steelers wind up winning. And the referee pulls the greatest, like, heel turn in the history of officiating. The ruling on the field is a touchdown. However,
took hella long.
The balls to do that in the away stadium or in the home stadium is crazy.
Can I when he said, even though I know they called it offensive pass interference, I know the play did not count. I got it. I'm on it. How in the world, after all of that discussion, did those officials decide that a touchdown had been scored on that play? Forget the penalty. The wide receiver, Amon-Ra St. Brown, caught the ball at the one, maybe the half-yard line, mm-hmm. was definitely not in the end zone,
mm-hmm.
gets driven backwards, and as he's falling down, he might have been down, don't know, didn't replay, might have been down, laterals to the quarterback at like the six-yard line. His forward progress was hella stopped. No whistle? And then they go, oh, you know what? Yeah, actually, not only no whistle, but touchdown. But actually, you know what? No, it doesn't count. Offensive pass interference. Just horrible. That was really bad officiating. And I'm not sure the first offensive pass interference on the touchdown you saw was offensive pass interference. Mm-hmm. The second one definitely was. I'm going to draw a full-blown two-arm shoved mm-hmm. Jalen Ramsey out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
But that was not a good look for the NFL officiating at all.
Is forward progress stopped when it stopped or when the officials decide it stopped?
When the official, because it's not a reviewable play. So if there had not been offensive PI there and they ruled that a touchdown and then they reviewed it, they would have kept it as a touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
Unless his knee was down, which I don't think it was.
Mm-hmm. I don't think it was either.
But yeah, you can't review.
I think
that's a
touchdown from that perspective, yeah, of the sequence of things. I think it was a touchdown.
Totally.
But because the forward progress wasn't called or stopped or whatever you call it.
There are 49er fans everywhere right now who are remembering the 2011 season, January 2012 NFC title game against the New York Giants, where Ahmad Bradshaw definitely fumbled.
Mm-hmm.
And they ruled it. Mm-hmm. Nope, forward progress is stopped. Nope. Yep. Hang on. His forward progress was super way less stopped than Amon Ra's was last mm-hmm. night. And I can't believe that's still a totally subjective call. It should not be. Mm-hmm. When a player catches the ball at the one and is not going backwards of his own volition, is being driven backwards, his forward progress, ergo, is stopped. Mm-hmm. Like, you're telling me if he had been tackled there, let's say this is 5 minutes left in the first quarter. If that play happens and he gets tackled, they're putting the ball on the half-yard line calling forward progress. I can't believe they called it a touchdown. That's insane. Say it was caught. Forward progress stopped at the one. Pass interference, ball game over.
Is there any leeway at the end of a game for a team, like, in that situation where, like, it's clear, like, was there any doubt forward progress was stopped?
No, because the reason Jared Goff scored a touchdown is because the Pittsburgh Steelers stopped playing defense because they went, oh yeah, no, that guy's mm-hmm. down. That guy's sure. hella down.
Mm-hmm.
And it was mm-hmm. it was baffling. And I can't understand how they got to and why they got to. Because like you said, that they after it, long discussion. Yeah. Where nobody's really sure what's going on,
yeah.
all of the officials got together and decided, hey, the best way to do this is to call it a touchdown. But then what we'll do is we'll pull the rug and we'll let them know there's also pass interference. And not only does the touchdown not count, but the game's over.
Is that the wrong way to do it? Because if you call it a touchdown, it instantly goes to review, right? Like if they call it a touchdown, it instantly becomes reviewable,
mm-hmm.
and you can look at all things.
Mm-hmm.
Is that
except forward progress?
accept forward progress, which the
which
line
is the
of,
whole thing of the play,
which is the line of like what's reviewable and what's not is hilarious,
right?
Because it seems like forward progress would be really, really important, but
yeah.
I guess not.
And it's like I said,
maybe
it's not
subjective.
It's not. And it, on a play like that, you should be able to look and go, oh yeah, no, that guy was
well,
not.
It's like the Eli Manning helmet catch. Like, was he in the grass or not?
Well, in the grass went away long before that.
Long before what?
That play. In the grasp used to be a thing, and then they did away with it because it was dumb. Yeah.
Okay.
It was definitely a rule, but I think by 07 it was gone.
Hmm. Okay.
Yeah. I brought up, hey, real quick, I know we were talking about this earlier. I brought
oh,
up
this
that
is
play.
So great.
Here we go. Let's. I would like to count together.
Okay.
Because
so I'll lay this out for those that are watching. We have the pass interference call on 4th and 2 with 88 seconds left in the game here. Jared Goff back to pass. This is when the Steelers first think they won the game.
All right.
There is the play. It is dead. No flag.
Ball hits. Ready?
Ball hits. Yeah, ball's on the ground. No flag.
No flag.
No flag. We've
no
got
flag.
Celebrating. We've got jumping.
Here they
no
are.
Flag. And there's
there
one, there's
are.
Two. Thrown directly at the defenders.
It was
and
such a long time.
Here's the tough part, though. It's not the wrong call.
It was super the right call.
It was not the wrong call at all. Maybe they couldn't find their flag. Maybe it got stuck in their pocket. I'm not really sure, but yeah, those flags came flying in.
That was so funny to me. I thought that was great.
No, it was very funny. It's very funny, and it ends with the Steelers wound up winning that game anyway. So there's a couple of things that happened with that Steelers victory. One, it ensures that Mike Tomlin, for the 19th consecutive year, will have a non-losing season. And I was wrong on the Pittsburgh Steelers. I didn't think that they'd be good. I think my hot take to start the season was the streak would end and Rodgers would go out with a flutter, and that hasn't happened. He's played pretty good football. They've obviously played really good football. They're going to wind up winning that division. And the other thing that game solidified is the 49ers are headed to the postseason.
Wild. I can't decide what's more impressive. That the 49ers are going to the postseason this year, despite the rash of injuries they've dealt with. Or the fact that Mike Tomlin, once again, has at least 9 wins in a season.
That's incredible.
Yeah, man. And
absolutely incredible.
I also, the Steelers are a perfect encapsulation of what the NFL is this year. I don't know that you could tell me anything about how the Steelers season ends up, short of them winning the Super Bowl. I don't think they can win the Super Bowl.
Can they get there?
Yeah, sure. Like, why not? If I told you that the Steelers went to the Super Bowl, Aaron Rodgers had one huge game, their defense carried him in another game, and they won the AFC Championship.
Mm-hmm.
Would you be like, no chance, no way?
No, I don't think there's a scenario where I would say that.
Yeah, like we talked about the Lions the other day. And James Hamm and I were both on board the idea that, man, the Lions are dangerous because they're going to hang up 30. The Lions can beat anybody because they can run it up against anyone. And I thought that was going to be the Steelers' problem yesterday. The Lions were touchdown favorites, 7 or 7.5, depending on the book you looked at. Meaning they win by, the books thought they were going to win by at least 7.
Mm-hmm.
And watching the Steelers just kind of stuff their offense in a locker for most of that game was like, man, where did this, what? Mike Tomlin's the man. Like, I don't know that they'll ever win another Super Bowl with him there, but I was with you. It felt like this was the year they were destined to be a 6-11 ass team, and then Mike Tomlin would be fired, Aaron Rodgers would be out of here, and not only does it look like they're going to go to the playoffs, it looks like they're going to win their division. That means they're going to get a home playoff game, and I don't know what to make of the Steelers going to the playoffs. That's an impressive, impressive coaching job. And they haven't had T.J. Watt.
This is a weird. This is a weird year. I think the NFL is like the let's point out a couple of other things that are important, and
sure.
and we'll get to what Chicago did over the weekend also. But the Lions' loss also secures the Bears a playoff spot. Now, the Bears are competing for something bigger now.
Yeah.
And the fact that they legitimately have a chance to do it after that incredible win on Saturday afternoon is amazing to me. Mm-hmm. This is an in-season turnaround. Like, we were talking at the beginning of the year about Caleb, about this team, how they're falling short. You know, we're talking about Ben Johnson, all of these different things. And it's like, sometimes it takes time for all of the pieces to fall in place. Mm-hmm. They fell in place during the season, and they started accumulating a handful of victories that I don't know that you would call them impressive, but it's like, okay, they're winning football games. That's better than what they were doing at the beginning. And now they just haven't lost. They just keep winning football games.
Yeah, I can't. There's this really fine line, right, between, oh, that team is... I don't think the Bears are fraudulent. I want to say that up front.
Absolutely.
I do not think the Bears are a fraudulent team. You could talk me into the Bears being the number one seed in the NFC. Yes. The Bears could... the Bears could win out. Mm-hmm. Pretty easily. They got the 49ers and the Lions. They could definitely win those two games. But there's this weird line between, oh, that team is just figuring out how to win games. And... hey, that team hasn't really, they needed overtime to and a miracle onside kick recovery to sneak past Malik Willis and the Packers. They beat the hell out of the Browns, salute, but they lost to the Packers a week before that. Good win against Philly the week prior to that, pretty much dominated Philly. But God, you beat the Steelers by 3. You need a last second field goal to beat the Vikings. You need a comeback to beat the Giants. You need a wild ass comeback and a hold on to beat the Bengals and Joe Flacco. Like, it just, there's, I don't know where my line is between, oh, that team's good and they figure out how to win games. Mm-hmm. And, oh, that team should probably be blowing some of these teams out and they're winning on unsustainable miracles, and eventually that's going to catch up to them.
For a team that just got good, though, like just started putting it together, shouldn't we have those expectations for them? Like, yeah, they should have probably beat this team, or like, it's reality, it's their first day of actually winning, so the fact that they are, isn't that kind of...
I think there's something to learning to win games. Like,
sure, right.
And I think when you reference, I probably won't count the Bengals game just because you have a Bengals team that's they're going to score. Like, they might not be good, but they're going to fight and they're going to score a lot of points before you can prove that they're not good. The Giants, you have to find a way to beat the Giants, right? You have to find a way to beat a bad Vikings team. And I think when you do that, mm-hmm. it helps you find a way to beat a team like the Green Bay Packers. You've been in those situations, right? I'm not going to discount the Pittsburgh win because we just talked about that's a division winner now. Or that's going to wind up
allegedly.
Being a division. Yeah, it's going to wind up being a division winner. They put up 31 on Myles Garrett and the Cleveland Browns. That Browns team mm-hmm. is not good. Mm-hmm. That Browns defense legit. Is very, very mm-hmm. good. And they put 31 up on them. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, maybe isolated. Yeah, no, they don't look totally impressive. But when you realize they found a way to beat a team like the Commanders, who wasn't good this year, or the Saints, who aren't good, or you reference the Giants, the Vikings, all of that. That puts you in a position to where now you're in a close game with your division rival with major stakes on the line in the Green Bay Packers, and you beat them. Mm-hmm. You beat them in a close game. You get that miracle, and every onside kick at this point in NFL's history is a miracle. Mm-hmm. I feel like we hadn't seen one since the rule change, and now we've seen two in like the last 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And now you've got a situation where, yo, we can win these tough games. We're going into this San Francisco 49ers game. This is our toughest game on the schedule. Mm-hmm. This could determine whether we're the one seed or not, and we are battle-tested. We know how to win these games. I think there is something to that, and I won't discount close wins even against bad teams.
All right. I don't hate that. I just...
I hear you.
There's something,
I hear you.
It's
hear
the
you.
Chiefs thing. It's the Chiefs thing last year. The Chiefs were 15-2.
It was 15-1. It was something absurd.
They were figuring out. They were just getting these close wins. That's what everyone was. Oh, it's the Chiefs. They just figured. And then ran into a real team in the Super Bowl and got boat raced.
Yeah, but they were in the Super Bowl.
Right.
Like, if Chicago gets to the Super Bowl this year, no Bears fan is going.
Yeah, you don't get to play the. Oh, see, I told you. Like, no, that doesn't count.
Hey, you know what? I'm writing it on the whiteboard. Bears won't win the Super Bowl.
That's okay. That's bold. No, that's bold
just,
right there.
It's it's is not Bears specific. In fact, I think I always go back to the Vikings of last season. I go back to the Vikings of the year they lost to Brian Daboll and Daniel Jones at home in the playoffs. I go back to that Steelers team that started 10-0.
Yeah.
11-0.
Oh, yeah. 11-0.
And you're watching them and you're going, but to that point, this Bears team does feel different.
Yeah.
This Bears team feels like they have a quarterback who is taking that second year leap and turning into that dude.
This team doesn't feel like the Vikings.
They also run the hell out of the ball.
Oh, they do.
This Bears team's probably going to be like really good next year. Like this is just the start, but next year, like they'll all put it together. Caleb will have a year.
I'm glad you said that.
Thank you.
Hold that thought. You brought up Kansas City last year, and I think that brings up a very interesting conversation about a very dramatic difference between the NFL and the NBA that I think sometimes we struggle wrapping our brains around.
Mm.
We'll talk about that next. It's D'Lo and Kyle Mattson here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience, and it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had. And the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day. And everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All The Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-Bone at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-Bone.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With Masterclass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch Masterclass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from Masterclass to their lives. Masterclass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. Masterclass.com/audio.
Santa's not the only one delivering joy this season. Unwrap a new home with help from your Las Vegas Realtors. More than 15,000 members are ready to show you. There's no place like new home for the holidays.